الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين والصلاة والسلام على سيد الأنبياء والمرسلين أما بعد فقد قال الله تعالى في القرآن المجيد من يطع الرسول فقد أطاع الله صدق الله العظيم. Respected elders, brothers in Islam. Today the Hadith Sharif that I will read to you and inshallah explain to you to the best of my ability is a narration recorded by Imam Bukhari, Imam Muslim, amongst others, a very famous narration in which two ideas, two themes are discussed in considerable detail. Two beliefs, two doctrines actually. The first one is that about taqdeer or qadr, the belief in destiny or fate. As we all know, it is a requirement of every Muslim that he or she believes that everything has been predestined, pre-written by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The second idea, the second theme which has been discussed in this hadith is closely related. It's the idea of ar-raja wal-khawf, which is an idea that our action should be in between hope and fear. Raja means hope, khawf means fear. Our life should be lived within these two parameters. At the same time, we should be hopeful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy, yet simultaneously remember the punishment and remember how He can punish us even for the smallest deed. To live with that kind of philosophy, that both themes are very, very important. So I will read this hadith inshallah ta'ala. The first part of the hadith, it talks about, as I said, the taqdeer, about the destiny of man. But to actually explain it, the Prophet sallallahu ta'ala alayhi wa sallam actually describes in considerable detail and in considerable accuracy the process of a child being born, the actual pregnancy period, that 9 months, what happens to a child. And this is indeed miraculous for its time, that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such detail was able to explain what happened inside a mother's womb. And in many respects, when I read this hadith, you will see this as well, that obviously we now know what happens during the process of a child and what stages it goes through in the mother's womb. Why? Because we have the cameras, we have the infrared technology and all of these means, something which came across in the 20th century. But remember that this is 1,400 years ago. And we know how primitive medicine, we know how primitive science and technology was in that time. And yet, we'll see how the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in such beautiful and intrinsic detail explains the process of a birth of a child. In fact, in many respects, the detail that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives, you will see that it is better than what the doctors can give today.
Subhanallah.
Why? Because this explanation will give you the biological process of the birth of a child. Not only that, but it will give the spiritual aspect as well. It will tell you spiritually what happens to a child when he is still in his mother's womb. The hadith has been recorded by Abdullah ibn Mas'ud. He says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, "Inna ahadakum yujma'u khalquhu fi batni ummihi 40 yawman nutfatan." That each one of you spends 40 days in his mother's womb in the state of nutfa. Nutfa in Arabic is just a mix of liquid. Specifically what the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was talking about was the first stage of pregnancy, when the liquid from the male and the liquid of the female is joined together. This has been described in the Quran and indeed by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam as nutfa. It just means a sticky liquid. If you look in the dictionary, that's the explanation you will be given. This is for the 40 days. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ عَلَكَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Then the Prophet went on to tell us that for the next 40 days, the stage of that baby will be the state of alaka. Alaka means blood. But not any typical blood or normal blood. Normal blood in Arabic is called dam. For instance, when we cut ourselves, the blood that runs, and you can see it's very running, that is called dam. But you will not call that type of blood alaka. Alaka is a specific type of blood. It is a more thickened blood, almost like a blood clot. So again, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is describing the second stage, the next 40 days, that this liquid has now turned into a blood clot almost, a sticky redness. This is the next stage of the child's birth. ثُمَّ يَكُونُ مُدْغَةً مِثْلَ ذَلِكَ. Then, for the next 40 days, these again the words of the Prophet in considerable detail, he says that the child will take on the form of a mudgha. Mudgha in Arabic literally means chewed piece of meat. If I was to, someone was to give you a small piece of meat and you were to chew it in your mouth and then spit it out again, that form it would take, you would call that mudgha. And the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is explaining that after the first 40 days it was in the form of a liquid, then in the form of a blood clot, then it starts taking on the form of flesh, undefined flesh, and that is what is called a mudgha. And we all know this now when we read the books on science, when we see programs about it, that this is exactly how the doctors describe it today. Yet this is something that our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam told us all those years ago. The next part now is something which the doctors are still unable to tell us. It talks about the spiritual aspects of a child. And it says, ثُمَّ يُرْسَلُ إِلَيْهِ الْمَلَكُ فَيُنْفَقُ فِيهِ الرُّوحِ. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will send an angel to that body, to that baby, and he, that angel, will blow in the ruh, the soul, into that child. So this is obviously something which is specific to Islam. Only the Prophet, only Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala could tell us this information. When that ruh is actually blown into that child, then that child now is considered a living thing. So we know from this that many jurists, many fuqaha have said that if there are an unfortunate circumstance where there had been a miscarriage, then the fuqaha say that if this miscarriage occurs after 120 days, after the original conception, then the child will be given a proper janazah. Because after that period, the fuqaha have deduced from this hadith that that child is a living thing now, it has a ruh in it. And if the child was, the miscarriage occurred before those 120 days, then there will not be an official janazah for that child. So we learn that from this hadith and similar narrations. The next part talks about the qadr, and it says that when this angel comes, then the angel at that moment will write four pieces of information regarding that child. Even before he comes into this world physically, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders the angel to write down four pieces of information about this person, whether it is male or female. Firstly, بِقَدْبِ رِزْكِهِ. Allah will already declare that whether this person, this child, where he will receive his rizq from, his provisions. This is already decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the womb, whether he's going to be a rich person, whether he's going to be a poor person, whether he will be born into a rich family and will never have to worry about food and material and clothing for the rest of his life, whether he will live in poverty for his entire life. These things have already been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Wa ajlihi, Allah has also decided the lifespan, how long that child will live for in the womb. Whether he will live until 70, 80, 40, whether he will die as a child, all of these things have been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala whilst the child is still in the womb. Wa amilihi, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also decides what actions he will perform. Whether he will be a pious person, whether he will perform umrah, whether he will perform hajj, whether he looks after his parents or not, whether he is a person who lies, who backbites, all of these things have already been decided whilst a child is still in the womb. Finally, وَشَقِيٌّ أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala decides whilst the child is still in the womb whether the child will be shaqi or sa'id. Two Arabic words. The first one, shaqi, means unfortunate, meaning ill-fated. أَوْ سَعِيدٌ. Sa'id means fortunate. And obviously here we're talking about whether the person will be a Muslim and thus enter into Jannah, or whether the person, the child to be born, will be a kafir and thus enter into hell. Even before a child comes into this world, all of this information has already been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. This shows the idea behind taqdeer. This shows our faith behind the idea of destiny, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows this information. He has already decreed it. And in one other hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam beautifully said, رُفِعَتِ الْأَقْلَامُ وَجَفَّتِ الصُّحُفِ, that the pens have been raised and the papers are dry now. The ink has been dried on the paper. Meaning that everything's already been decided for you. One point I will mention about this hadith related to a similar ayah. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one ayah from the Holy Quran say that there are five pieces of knowledge which only He knows. And no other human can know about these pieces of knowledge. إِنَّ اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ عِلْمُ السَّاعَةِ, Allah has knowledge of the Day of Judgment. وَيُنَزِّلُ الْغَيْثِ, and He is the one who descends rain, meaning that the weather is entirely in His control. Nobody else can control the weather. وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, and He knows what is inside the wombs. Now on this third piece, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, some people might understand from this that the ayat means that only Allah knows what is inside the womb of a mother, meaning that whether it's going to be male or female. And some people might be confused that, well, nowadays doctors can tell us through their scanning, through their equipment, they can tell what sex a child will be. And some people have started thinking, well, this is knowledge which Allah has described in the Quran as being specific to Him, yet doctors can tell us that today. And there may be therefore some contradiction from what has been mentioned in the Holy Quran. What we need to remind ourselves is basically a reflection of what has just been said here. When Allah says in the Quran, وَيَعْلَمُ مَا فِي الْأَرْحَامِ, He knows what is inside the wombs, it doesn't mean the sex of a child, whether it is going to be a boy or a girl. It means the whole nature of that child, whether that child is going to be a good person or a bad person, whether that child is going to be a Jannati or a Jahannami, whether that child is going to be a rich, someone who doesn't have to worry about their rizq, or someone who does. All of these things have been decided by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Qadr overall is a masla which unfortunately has divided Muslims. It has confused Muslims, this whole idea in our belief in destiny. If you look in the history of Islam, unfortunately there have always been sects, there has always been different groups that have existed. One of the earliest groups to have existed was on the basis of Muslims who didn't have the right beliefs about Qadr. There was one early group, this is in a time perhaps 100, 200 years after the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam left as well. There was a group who appeared called the Qadariyah. Like we had splits between Shias and Kharijis, Qadariyahs was a group. And they had the wrong beliefs about destiny. In short, this belief of ours, it sometimes confused people, and it sometimes confused people to the extent that they left the mainstream part of Islam. Some people find it very confusing. The main point of confusion for Muslims is that if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has already decided everything, then what are we doing here? That we're just doing what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala already knows we're going to do. So why have the Day of Judgment? Why can't we just blame taqdeer? That on the Day of Judgment, these people, they think to themselves that perhaps on the Day of Judgment, when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says to us that you performed this wrong action, you done this evil action, and a person might turn around and say, well, I was only doing what you had already decreed for me. And people get confused by this, and they think that how does taqdeer actually strengthen you, iman? It is part of our faith. But it seems rather confusing. In short, and in answer to this, there should be no real confusion about this matter. I'll give you one or two simple examples to show exactly how we should perceive the matter of taqdeer. Imagine a person who had just had a very serious car accident, and he reaches the hospital, and when he reaches the hospital, the doctor sees his state, and he sees that he is losing a lot of blood. When he sees his condition, the blood, he's losing a lot of it, and there is no chance of any transfusion of any sort. The doctor eventually tells the patient and he tells the family around that this person will die in the next 3 hours. He declares that there is no way that this person who has had this accident can survive. And as the doctor has declared, this person, he dies within 2-3 hours. Has this person died because the doctor declared he was going to die? Or has he died because of his injuries? The doctor in advance, he had told him that this person is going to die. But that's not the reason why he actually died. The actual reason why he died because of these injuries which he had sustained earlier. The doctor was just telling him, the patient and the family, what was likely to happen. Now, the family can't turn around after the death and say to the doctor that we are going to sue you now because you have killed the patient, you have killed him. And the doctor will turn around and say that, why am I responsible? Because you said he's going to die. And now he is dead, so you have in effect killed him. No one believes that. The doctor will turn around and say, I'm just telling you what I saw in front of me. The real cause of his death was the fact that he had this accident and he was losing blood. And I was just making a statement about it. In the same way, for instance, if you have a child in a rowdy and very unintelligent child in a school who pays no attention to his work, in advance the teacher tells the child, the teacher tells the parents, that he's going to fail miserably in the exams. And he does fail miserably. Now the parents or the child can't go up to the teacher now and say that, well, I failed because you said I was going to fail. All the teacher was doing was telling the child and the parent what the situation was. In exactly the same way, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He is not determining our actual actions. He's just describing what is going to happen. Just by the fact that he has already declared it doesn't mean that this has happened because of that. Allah merely indicates what is about to happen. Rather like this doctor, rather like this teacher. It is our own actions. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is just declaring what is about to happen. So we should not have any confusion about the matter of taqdeer. In short, we should believe in it and know that this is an extension of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's knowledge. The last part of the hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gives a stark warning, and he says, فَوَاللَّهِ الَّذِي لَا إِلَهَ غَيْرَهُ I swear by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, إِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا زِرَاءٌ That one, a Muslim from amongst you, he can do the actions of the people of Jannah, meaning he can perform good actions all of his life, until between him and Jannah there is only a foot's length. He's almost in touching distance of Jannah. فَيَسْبِكُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ But taqdeer precedes him. Meaning something happens. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ Just as he is in touching distance of Jannah, he ends up doing something wrong, an action from the people of Jahannam, of the fire. فَيَدْخُلُهَا And a lifetime of good actions, suddenly Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can see that last action, which is a bad action, and he can send him into the fire. Similarly, وَإِنَّ أَحَدَكُمْ لَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ النَّارِ حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا زِرَاءٌ Similarly, a person all of his life can perform the actions of the people of the hellfire. Meaning he can perform evil all of his life. حَتَّى مَا يَكُونَ بَيْنَهُ وَبَيْنَهَا إِلَّا زِرَاءٌ To the extent that between him and the fire there will only be a foot's length. Again, he will be in touching distance of the fire. فَيَسْبِقُ عَلَيْهِ الْكِتَابِ However, taqdeer precedes him, the book precedes him, meaning that destiny writes his own fate. فَيَعْمَلُ بِعَمَلِ أَهْلِ الْجَنَّةِ And then he performs an action of the people of Jannah. فَيَدْخُلُهَا And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will enter him into paradise. What this is basically, it is rather a stark description from the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a person all of his life can do good and then right at the end he can do bad and then he can enter into Jahannam, or a person can do bad all of his life, perform good right at the end and he can enter into paradise. What the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is perhaps trying to encourage us to do is have that balance between khawf, fear, and raja, hope. That both of these things are needed in a person. You have to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you have to have hope of His mercy as well. If you have fear all the time, that will give the wrong results. And if you have hope all the time, that will bring the wrong results as well. And you see that in everyday life as well. For instance, if a teacher tells a student that the next exam will be so easy that anyone will be able to pass it. It will be the easiest exam that I have ever given. Imagine the student, he's obviously going to get complacent. He probably won't do any revision. And he'll be so full of hope. He might even completely neglect doing any revision whatsoever. He's got too much hope in him, and the chances are he might end up failing because of that. Similarly, if the teacher tells the student that the exam coming up is so hard that I don't imagine you would be able to answer a single question on it, that you will simply write your name on top of the paper and that will be the last mark you leave. Again, the student, he might have the opposite way now. He might just give up on it. And again, not revise, simply on the basis that the teacher has given the impression that I have no chance whatsoever. And again, he might completely leave any revision. So too much hope and too much fear, both of them are wrong. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and indeed the Sufi Ikram, they talk about this idea in quite considerable detail, that a person has to be in, strike the balance basically between both aspects. Both of them are wrong. And perhaps the best way this has been described is the saying of Sayyidina Umar bin Khattab radiallahu ta'ala, which I'm sure you're all familiar with. Before I tell you this hadith, we must remember that Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala was already guaranteed a place in paradise by the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. In a famous hadith, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam read off the names of all those people who would be jannatis. Abu Bakr fil Jannah, Umar fil Jannah, Usman fil Jannah, Ali fil Jannah. He read off a list of all those people who were guaranteed a place in paradise. In the saying of Sayyidina Umar, he explains what the reaction, what the disposition of a true believer should be. He said that I am so fearful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's punishment that I think to myself sometimes that it could be that tomorrow Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make an announcement that every single person will enter into Jannah except one person. Sayyidina Umar said that I am so fearful of Allah that I fear that I will be that one person who enters into hell. If Allah was to announce tomorrow that everyone is going to Jannah except one person who is going to go to hell, I am so scared of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that I fear that that one person will be me. Similarly, Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala, and he said that I am so hopeful of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's mercy that if tomorrow he was to announce that every single person on earth is going to enter into the fire of hell except one person who will enter into Jannah, then I have conviction and hope that I am that sole person who will enter into Jannah. And this perhaps epitomizes best the whole idea of Raja wal Khawf, to have hope of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and to have fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala as well. Only when you have both can you be a complete believer. Only when you have both can you actually perform good actions. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to fear His punishment and to have hope on His limitless mercy as well. Ameen. Wa ma alayna illa al-balagh al-mubeen. Ameen. Allahumma salli ala sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa ala ali sayyidina wa maulana Muhammadin wa barik wa sallim wa salli alayhi. Alhamdulillah rabbil alameen wa laaqibatu lil muttaqeen wa salatu wa salamu ala sayyidil anbiya'i wal mursaleen. ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم وتب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم اللهم أعنا على تلاوة القرآن وذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك اللهم ربنا زدنا علما اللهم رب اشرح لنا صدورنا ويسر لنا امورنا واحلل عقدة من ألسنتنا يفقهوا قولنا فسهل يا الهي كل صعب بحرمة سيد الابرار فسهل يا رب بالمصطفى بلغ مقاصدنا واغفر لنا ما مضى يا واسع الكرم وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عرشه محمد وعلى اله واصحابه اجمعين آمين برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين.